Well, you know, on a morning like this, when I see so many people not here, and I know it's the first day like of hunting season, it makes me want to just immediately pray for Bambi. Okay. I know she's out there and there's real problems. No. Let's ask the Lord's blessing on our time. So, Father, we just thank you for your word and thank you for this time, Lord. Lord, I know that there are hearts here that are troubled. And I pray, Lord, that they would be open to hear your word and know your truth. I pray that you bless your servant with wisdom and discernment as he speaks. Your word never returns void. It accomplishes everything, Lord, that you intend. And we thank you for that truth. Open every heart, every mind, every ear. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's going to be a little bit different this morning. We're going to have a few things that haven't been before. But the sermon today is speaking from the heart. Okay? Some of you have probably been to workshops or seminars that are on communication. And oftentimes they give you a bunch of secular stuff on how to communicate. I know I've given workshops on communication for organizations and businesses, and people always think it's some routine or some, you know, formula. That if you just do this or just do that, everything will be fine. Well, you're going to learn today, I don't really believe that at all. They may pay me to teach it, but I don't believe that. So we're going to learn a little bit about what God says we're supposed to do. Speaking from the heart, the sermon will help you find your true identity in Christ Jesus. And you'll find out why that's important in just a minute. Your true identity. We talk about our identity in Christ or being a child of God, but do we really understand what that means? Do we really believe that? Also, the sermon is intended to help you improve how you talk to others. And there's no techniques here. There's only identity. So, communication is directed by our identity. Now, this little dirt digger is actually me. And I couldn't find suspenders this morning. Or if I'd have dressed up appropriately. I haven't changed, have I? Now, what do I mean by that? Communication is directed by our identity. That's really simple. If you think you're a child of Satan, that's how you sound. It's not nice. But if you truly know that you're a child of God, you will sound like your heavenly Father. Now that's the only technique you need. So let's start. Who are you? Should have a little clip from that Who song. Who are you? Who? Well, we're all created in God's image. We should reflect or mirror the nature and characteristics of God. Each one of us should look like God Himself. That's what we're supposed to look like. You know, when I was talking last week, one of the problems in marriage is everybody has to focus on each other. Dumb. I don't want to grow up to be my like Mary. I don't want to grow up to be a woman. I don't want to grow up to be a wife. So why would I look at Mary? Well, I look at the Lord. Mary looks at the Lord. That silly little thing of the triangle, as the two grow closer to God. Well, that's focus, because the moment you start looking at each other, you crash, and you don't look at God. Pretty simple. Well, God's characteristics are very powerful. The Father and Son and the Holy Spirit of one true God, and they were in an agape love relationship. Agape love. There's nothing sexual. This is not friendship. This is self-sacrificial, self-giving love. Agape love is a voluntary self-giving of oneself to serve another person. It's setting yourself aside for that other person. Probably get less feedback if I stay over here. John, if I get too far, throw things at me. It's concerned with the needs of the other person, not what the other person has to offer. And see, that's one of our fundamental flaws as believers. We're self-centered. We want everything our way. We actually believe the Burger King commercial. Have it your way. No. It's not about having it our way. It's about what the other person needs. You see how this can impact communication. If you really believe that the other person is more important than you, then you will talk in a way that really glorifies the Lord and lifts up that other person. But if you think you're the king of the castle, the queen of the castle, you think you're the one important, you're going to talk down to them. You're going to want them to somehow serve you. That's not right, and that doesn't work. That is poor communication. It doesn't sound good. It has sounds like, why do you do that? What's the matter with you? Not, honey, can I help? How can I bless you? Different ways. It's all attitude, it's all perspective, and it's all, what do you believe about yourself? A loving servant is a servant that always is always directed by a self-giving agape love. Now see, a loving servant is one who is only thinking of setting themselves aside to serve others. Is only thinking of setting themselves aside to be a blessing to others. And recognizes that their needs do not need to be met by demanding that other people give to them. You know there's no right. I've said that before. There's no right. The only right that exists in the Bible is the right of a kinsman redeemer. Every woman has a right. If she marries and does not have a child, she has a right to go to her husband's brother and demand that he come into her so that she can have a child and raise up in her husband's name. No woman wants to take that. That's the only right you have. You have responsibilities and obligations. And that's how we're supposed to act. That's supposed to be part of our identity. Jesus was not forced to go to the cross. He was not forced with no option. He was a servant. No one forced him to go. He voluntarily served the needs of others. He gave himself for the world. His identity was a servant. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. But his identity was to serve. God's plan for relationships is simple. Being a loving servant would be the foundation of all relationships. All relationships are to be based upon serving one another. Self-sacrificial serving. That's very unpopular today. Because people want to know what's in it for them. They want the scales of justice balanced. Giving and sacrificing of oneself to meet the needs of another would be the way of relating to each other. That's the method. That's the communication method. Setting yourself aside for somebody else. It's upside down today. It's all demanding what you need to do for me. Therefore, human beings were created to be, created by God to be loving servants to each other. Think about that. If this is our identity. This is who we are. We were created by God to love and serve one another. If you're married, and if there's any tension in the marriage, I would say that there's something wrong with your servant attitude, both of you. But if either one has a problem, it gets pretty clunky. Keep in mind the commands of God are not conditional. You are to serve one another, even if your spouse is being a booger. You don't mind that technical term. You're supposed to serve your spouse. You don't want to look at God and say, you know, like, Lord, I'll obey when my spouse is behaving. Okay, I'm sure you think that's cool. It's not. We obey because that's commanded by God. A loving servant is a person who gives from the heart and puts the needs and interests of another person ahead of his or her own. Give from the heart. And you know, sometimes people do it begrudgingly. Okay. That doesn't work very well. It's a good thing to do until you can get there. But God wants to change our heart. He's in the business of helping us truly develop an identity of who we are. And then takes offerings and serves the other person from an eternal perspective. And that's what's important. Are you looking at the short term, what can I get out of this? Or are you looking at eternity? Paul says in 2 Timothy that he won the race. He's going to get the victor's crown. Do we understand what that means, to actually set ourselves aside, to serve everybody, so that we can get the victor's crown? Do we know what's waiting for us if we glorify the living God by setting ourselves aside and rejoicing in Him? Jesus tells the 12 apostles in Mark that if they want to be first in the kingdom of God, they must be servants of all. Not just servants of those that might get them into higher places, but of everyone. There's a big thing in Judaism back then, I don't know if it's so much now, of who you knew and your ancestry, who you were connected with. And so if you were in a place of honor, that was really very nice because you had picked up the characteristics of an honored person that was throwing the feast. But that's not what Jesus had in mind. It's serving the lowest. It's serving in secret so nobody knows what you've done. Here's a video vignette. It takes about 4 or 5 minutes. This is a true story. Watch the screen and look at
it. Johnny works at a grocery store. One day he went to a training event led by a speaker named Barbara Glenn. She was talking to 3,000 frontline workers for a supermarket chain, truck drivers, cashiers, and stockers. Barbara was speaking on how people can make a difference. She describes how every interaction with another person is a chance to create a memory, to bless someone's life. She talks about how important it is to look for those moments. She puts on the walls, as she always does when she speaks, posters with inspiring things. She told some stories and then went home, but she left her phone number behind. She invited the people at the conference to give her a call if they wanted to talk more about something she said. About a month later, Barbara received a call from one of the people at the session, a 19-year-old bagger named John. Johnny proudly informed her that he had Down syndrome, and then he told her his story. Barbara, I liked what we talked about, but I didn't think I could do anything special for our customers. After all, I'm just a bagger. Then he had an idea. He decided that every night when he came home from work, he would find a thought for the day for his next shift. It would be something positive, some reminder of how good it was to be alive, or how much people matter, of how many gifts we are surrounded by. If he couldn't find one, he would make one up. Every night his dad would help him enter the same 6 times on a page in the computer. Then Johnny would print 50 pages. He would take out a pair of scissors and carefully cut 300 copies and sign every one. Johnny put the stack of pages next to him while he worked. Every time he finished bagging someone's groceries, he would put his chain on top of the last bag. Then you would stop what he was doing, look the person straight in the eye, and say, "I put a good saying in your bag. I hope it helps you to have a good day. Thanks for coming." A month later, the store manager called Barbara. "Barbara, you won't believe what's happening here. I was making my rounds, and when I got to the cashier, the line at Johnny's checkout was 3 times longer than anyone else's. It went all the way down the frozen food aisle." The manager got on the loudspeaker to get more checkout lines open, but he couldn't get any of the customers to move. They said, "That's okay, we'll wait. We want to be in Johnny's line." One woman came up to him and grabbed his hand, saying, "I used to shop in your store once a week. Now I come in every time I go by. I want to get Johnny's thought for the day." Johnny is doing more than filling bags with groceries. He is filling lives with hope. There is a reason Johnny's lines are 3 times longer than anyone else's. Our souls need to be fed, just as our bodies do. Bodies are fed by protein and carbs. Souls are fed by words. What people need from us the most is not more information. They just need words that will feed their soul. Sometimes words as simple as "thank you" or "I hope you've had a really good day" can feed a soul. Of course, what makes the words on the paper mean so much is who they come from. Words alone can come from a fortune cookie. When people get them from Johnny, they are reminded of the beauty of one person forgetting his own limitations and seeking to make his life a blessing to someone else. Whatever burdens Johnny carries, make his gift that much greater. Know who the most important person in the store is? Johnny the Bagger. A few months later, the manager called Barbara once again to tell her Johnny was transforming the whole store. He told her when the floral department had a broken flower or unused corsage, they used to throw it away. Now they go out in the aisle, find an elderly woman or little girl, and pin it on them. The butchers started putting ribbons on the cuts of meat they wrap up for customers. The people who make their shopping carts are trying to make carts with wheels that actually work. And all the people for the grocery store will be blessed through Johnny. If it can happen in a grocery store, it can happen anywhere. By the way, do you know who the most important person in your family, your neighborhood, and your workplace is? You. You can be Johnny the Bagger. What Johnny does isn't slick, complicated, or calculated. He's just a bagger expressing his hope. You can help make that happen wherever you are.
See, Johnny took the form of a servant. All he wanted to do was bless people. What is your form? What do you want to look like? Romans 6:17, "But thanks be to God that you were slaves of sin, but you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered." When you study that scripture, something very profound happens, because we discover that this is about melting iron or metal. This is, you obey from the heart. You made the decision to be put in a furnace and melted down, destroying your own form and being poured into the mold of Jesus Christ. Now, I used to work in a cast iron factory. I got scars all over me from melted cast iron, 2,800 degrees. That's hot. It burns on contact. A little bead of it hits your arm, and you're sweaty, and there's a red streak tomorrow where it gets right down. Steam is coming off your arm or hip. When it gets in your boot, you dance funny. Choosing to be set into a blast furnace and melted, the old self being destroyed and being poured into the mold of Jesus Christ the servant. Johnny the Bagger, that's a true story from the Safeway stores and up north. And you know what? He just decided all he wanted to do was bless people. He knew that if he put a blessing in their bag, it might help them have a good day. How simple for us to bless people. The woman at the checkout, our spouse, our children, our parents, brothers and sisters. Do we bless the people that we interact with? Do we desire to set ourselves aside and just create an atmosphere so they have a wonderful day? Now that is speaking from the heart. Sometimes we think it's all about us and our pain. We're self-centered. We want everything to happen our way. We don't want to go in the furnace, for heaven's sake. Because we're important, right? Like Eve, she wanted to be a God. She wanted to be like God. That's our struggle, each one of us, and that contaminates everything we say and do. You know what? We choose the form. We choose to be like Christ, the Lamb of God. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by deceitful desires, to be made new in the attitude of your mind, and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Ephesians 4:22 through 24. You were taught that the old way, the way that you are, your fallen nature, your sinful self, is not worth anything. To set it aside, it's corrupted. And to put on Jesus Christ. You were created to be like God. We won't get there in this lifetime, but we're supposed to have that focus and have that direction. You sound like our form. Is that you in the morning before coffee? I'm kind of in a coma, so I sit there and try not to drool on myself until I wake up. But some people sound like this, and this is a bad girl. I mean, he's been fighting, the one tooth is knocked out even. Is that how we sound? Is this how you sound? Meek as a lamb, beautiful little lamb, wouldn't hurt anybody. You sound like the Lamb of God, gentle, humble, and holiness. Is that the way we are?
Grandma knows you always need
exactly what you told. So mercy, so grand, so kindness, so fair. Words are like water. Harvest all your heart and dreaming of. One day God forbid you act a fool, fall down hard and fast, cause life is cruel. If you ever reach the help of friends, the hand you held might trip you up out there. But sometimes comes back around, you know. You always bring back what you say. So fixed on the Lord Jesus Christ, instead of on our circumstances, instead of on the people around us. Are we falling from truth? How do we fall? What's our identity? You see, if we have a distorted view of ourselves, we will fall from a damaged perspective. If what you think about yourself is messed up, that's how you talk. Like the bear. It's messed up. If we hold the God's view, then we will sow from a servant's perspective. The perspective of a child of the living God. That little boy with his suspenders on in trouble. That little boy only wanted to serve people, to please his mom and please his dad. The child's perspective. And you know what I'm talking about. You have these little ones, and they just look, they just want to help. They just want to serve. That's how we're supposed to be in the kingdom of God with each other. Like that little child. How can I help? What can I do? We show what's in our bag, what's in our life, what's in our experience. That's what we do. If our bag is filled with pain, then we're showing pain. If it's sadness, then we're showing sadness. There's an old analogy that you're like a glass of water. Whatever you're filled with, when you bump it, if somebody interacts with you, that's what comes out and splashes over. So if you're filled with sadness and pain, and somebody comes up to interact with you, that's what comes out. If you're filled with grace, mercy, rejoicing, why, that is nice stuff to bump into. And so on. I had to do that. You reap what you sow. you reap it. You sow mercy, sow grace, sow kindness, sow faith, you will reap those things. That's not a worldly perspective, that's a biblical perspective. It's the truth. Your identity? You are a child of God. I am a child of God. It's not just words we say, it's the truth about us. You are a child of the living God. John talks about that. John 1:12. But to all did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Do you believe in his name? Do you know Christ as your Lord and Savior? You are a child of the living God. Prince and princess of the living God. Let that become your identity and affect everything that you do. Here's another vignette. It's another true story about identity and perspective.
A seminary professor was vacationing with his wife in Gatlinburg, Tennessee. One morning while eating breakfast at a little restaurant, they noticed a distinguished-looking white-haired man moving from table to table, visiting with a guest. The professor whispered to his wife, "I hope he doesn't come over here." But sure enough, the man did come over to their table. "Where are you folks from?" he asked in a friendly voice. "Oklahoma," they answered. "Great to have you here in Tennessee," the stranger said. "What do you do for a living?" "I teach at a seminary," the professor replied. "Oh, so you teach preachers how to preach, do you? Well, I've got a great story for you." And with that, the gentleman pulled up a chair and sat down at the table. The professor groaned and thought to himself, "Great, just what I need, another preacher story." The man started, "Not far from the base of that mountain out there, there is a boy born to an unwed mother. He had a hard time growing up because every place he went, he was always asked the same question. Hey boy, who's your daddy?" He would avoid people because that question hurt him so bad. When he was about 12 years old, a new preacher came to his church. The boy usually slipped out early, but one day the new preacher said the benediction so fast he had to walk out with the crowd. Just as he got to the door, the new preacher, not knowing anything about him, put his hand on his shoulder and asked him, "Son, who's your daddy?" The whole church got deathly quiet. This new preacher sensed the situation and, using discernment that only the Holy Spirit could give, said, "Wait a minute. I know who you are. I see the family resemblance now. You are a child of God." With that, he patted the boy on his shoulder and said, "Boy, you've got a great inheritance. Go and claim it." With that, the boy smiled for the first time in a long time and walked out the door of King's person. He was never the same again. When anybody asked him, "Who's your daddy?" he'd just tell them, "I'm a child of God." The distinguished gentleman got up from the table and said, "Isn't that a great story?" The professor responded that it was a great story. As the man turned to leave, he said, "You know, if that new preacher hadn't told me that I was one of God's children, I probably never would have amounted to anything." And he walked away. The seminary professor and his wife were stunned. He called the waitress over and asked her, "Do you know who that man was sitting at our table?" The waitress grinned and said, "Of course, anybody knows him. That's Ben Hooper. He's the former governor of Tennessee."
"Who's your daddy?" Do you take it seriously that God loves you so much he calls you his beloved child? Does that ever penetrate your heart? If it does, it will change how you speak. If you let the Word of God make new your mind and transform you, you will talk like your Father. You will act like your Father. Serving is God's nature. We're made in the image of God. Take that seriously. Matthew 20:28. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. There's nothing more needs to be said about that. John 12:45. The one who looked at me is seeing the one who sent me. The Holy Spirit, the Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ, their very nature is serving. Each one. If you've seen the Son, you've seen the Father. The Son gave his life down for us. First John 3:1. See what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God. And so we are. We are children of the living God. We will be transformed and made new by the Spirit of God, by the Word of God. We have become kids. And that's a very exciting perspective at my age. And if you ask Mary, she'll probably tell you that I'm frequently childlike. I know that she is. We take this seriously. Who do you resemble? That's me again. A few years later, we were at a cousin's house in Houston. There's a picture of my brother next to me. I wish I would have put that in there. He's acting just as goofy. That's what you do when you're 6 and 7 and you're having a picture taken. Huh? What's your identity? Who are you? What do you look like? Is that what you look like? Or should I go through? That was the look like. Lamb of God. Jesus Christ, the servant. Is this you? The Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, is this you? Do you want to be able to talk to your spouse in a new way? Well, don't focus on your spouse, for heaven's sake. Focus on the living God and ask Him to reveal that truth to you, that you are a child of the living God. Now, as the worship team comes up, the song of invitation, I'd like you all to stand, please. And if this is something that's difficult for you, the altar is open and you can come up and we'll pray with you. If you're having trouble with communication in your marriage and you'd like to come forward or even meet with me afterwards, I'd be happy to talk with you about it. There is no rocket science here. It's very simple. If you don't even know what it means to be a child of God, if you've never accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, and what I mean by that is made Him your God, that you desire to follow Him, and you recognize that He has saved you from your sin by what He has done, and you'd like to receive that gift today, please come forward during this time.
Lord, I come to you, let my heart be filled with you, flowing from the grave.
Dennis told me one. Dennis, you have
Frank and Mary Frank, Jenna Paul Red, and I've called the Mary and all the Dakota Ferry thing. I'm doing a lot better. They're coming out of the surgery. They're going into recovery. They're still in the hospital. They're along themselves. But the Dakota Ferry, they're doing so much better.
Thank you, Bob. Any other service left?
We're going to go into my granddaughter in your prayers. She's got stress throat. She's having a hard time. And then also my brother-in-law, Randy Alexander, having a mild heart attack. Friday.
Amen. I want you to keep Mary's brother John. She's mentioned him a few times in your prayers. John had surgery on his colon for cancer. While in the surgery, they discovered that the radiation had done too much damage. So they had to remove more colon than they wanted, so they were permanently rewearing the bag. And then 5 days later, they discovered they had left the sponge in his intestine. And so they went back in and did a second surgery. You know the third leading cause of death is medical error, right? If you don't know, please mark that. They had to go back in and get the sponge. And it's inflamed, and so he's not eating. was on intravenous food, and he's still in a lot of pain, he's still in ICU. But he's trusting in the Lord, Jesus Christ. Wonderful. Any other praise reports or any other prayer requests? Hey, Doc, you have a closing prayer? Oh, Don, excuse me. I knew it started with a B.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. We pray that we can take this message into our hearts, that we will humble ourselves and be the messenger for you that you desire us to be. We pray for those that are missing today. We ask that you would draw near to each one of them, strengthen them with your healing power, that they may recover. We thank you for the blessings you've given us. We pray that you will lead us into a glorious new week. In Jesus' name, amen.
You are the everlasting God, the everlasting God. You do not face evil, but weary, but you tender as the wind, and you comfort those in need. You lift us up on wings, like you know.